We start off the program by hearing from a veteran recreational fisherman who embarked on an eye-opening adventure to track the few remaining big game fish. In Matt Rigney's book, In Pursuit of Giants, he writes about his account of the high adventure of offshore sport fishing and a clarion call to preserve the last of the world's great fish. We're talking about giant marlin, swordfish, and bluefin tuna hundreds of miles offshore of places like New Zealand and Nova Scotia, in the sport fishing mecca of Cabo San Lucas, off Japan, South Australia, and the Great Barrier Reef, and in the Mediterranean. A New England recreational fisherman for nearly 40 years, Matt Rigney is a member of the International Game Fish Association and Oceana, the largest ocean restoration group in the world. Matt, thank you very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Joe. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you being on the program. So what is a guy who has spent his life fishing, what are you doing in Northampton?
That's a really good question. Sometimes life takes you in directions you don't expect.
There you go. How did you get started on this project, of this pursuit?
Well, you know, I've been a recreational fisherman on the scale of your average person who goes out and enjoys fishing with family members and things like that. My family has had a small 17-foot boat, the same one for about 30 years. So my recreational fishing has been of a very, I would say, of the general variety where people like to get out and fish. I got started on this from that point. I fished a lot off of southern Maine in the area of Cape Porpoise and Kennebunkport. And what I found was that I was going out in an area that was supposed to be one of the richest places on earth for ocean life. And in 8 hours a day out there, using my fish finder, I was seeing literally nothing. Literally, anywhere from 85 to 400 feet of water. And as far out as, I'd say, 8 miles.
And normally, no fish. And normally you would see what? I mean, under normal conditions.
Under normal conditions, you should be seeing an awful lot of things, from schools of bait fish, mackerel, menhaden, herring, that sort of thing. You should see bottom aggregations of fish like cod and pollock. In a really healthy ocean ecosystem, which the southern Gulf of Maine and really all the Gulf of Maine has not been for many, many years, you would be seeing big, big aggregations of bluefin tuna. You might even see swordfish. And I don't, you know... What I learned in doing this book is that we're living with oceans that have been degraded for decades on a scale that we really have a hard time getting our minds around. We don't know the oceans that our grandparents knew, and that's one of the points I cover in the book, is seeing what my grandfather knew when he was fishing the northern end of Long Island Sound.
So the obvious question being, and this is one you explore in the book, of course, is, so are they declining or are they moving?
Oh, they're declining in number. I mean, overfishing with the heavy industrial gear that has been used in the past is largely responsible for it. Even more than that, I would say that it's government policy and lack of enforcement. Government policy being wrongheaded in its belief that the ocean was inexhaustible, and lack of enforcement because there wasn't the political will, as long as the oceans were in good shape, or at least were producing fish, even if they were in degrading shape. That was a huge part of the problem. The United States has begun to do a better job. But this really was a book that took me around the world to places like the Great Barrier Reef, New Zealand, the Mediterranean, really trying to understand for these major species, these apex predators, really the grandest fish in the sea, what are they like, and why have their numbers declined by anywhere from 70% to 90%?
And when you talk about overfishing, it's because we want them, right? Our appetite has also increased for these fish.
Well, our efficiency in catching them has increased. Our ability to go out to where they are, to find them in the water. We're not just, you know, putting our gear in places that we're guessing. We have technology now where we can pinpoint the swirls and the eddies, the warm water swirls and the eddies that break off of the Gulf Stream. And that's those are places where on the border between hot and cold water, fish will aggregate. There's no place for them to hide, and our technologies are powerful enough where we can just go after them and get them. We're really wherever they are. My goal in this book really was to take the average reader on an adventure that I certainly had never been on, and most people never will get the chance to be part of. I knew how much my life had been changed by being at sea, even for a day, even, you know, just outside the range of sight of land. I knew how much my life had been changed by that, and I knew that most people really had no sense of what it's like to see a 400-pound bluefin tuna, much less a 1,000-pound marlin or anything like that. So this quest was really an attempt to bring people offshore and to show them these are not, you know, the ocean is, these fish in the ocean are not just a protein source. That's not why we care about it. It's not why we care about the ocean. We care about the ocean because it's a place of beauty, power, and more than anything, of mystery. That's why we're drawn to it. And these fish are part of what helped create that.
And when it's all said and done, what do you hope that people get out of this in sense of ultimately taking action that they're motivated to do?
Well, I guess the first thing that I would hope is that they're awed. I hope they're awed on a personal level to reconsider, wow, I never thought about the ocean that way. I never really understood what was going on underneath the water. I never understood that, you know, a bluefin tuna or a marlin or a swordfish at 1,000 pounds can do 50 miles an hour through the water, that it's a thing of absolute beauty, and that these are worth preserving. In terms of taking action, you know, I cover in the end of the book, I cover a lot about the different steps people can take as consumers, as recreational fishers, as people if they're interested in getting involved politically. It's actually very easy to do and to be effective in that way. Most recently, for example, in New England, over 90,000 people, public people, commented on new rules regarding the harvest of herring. And that's profound. That's 90,000 people who are involved and got themselves involved by just following it online and writing the letter at the appropriate time. And it made a huge difference in how that resource is being managed.
And making a difference, and you feel that this problem is reversible. We can do something about this.
I do feel we can. It's easiest to do it close to home. It's harder to do it abroad. You know, one of the major sections of the book I cover has to do with the bluefin tuna trade in the Mediterranean. That is a heist on a scale that dwarfs the illegal trade in elephant ivory, the shark fin trade during its peak years, and the illegal trade of whale meat during its peak years. $16.4 billion of bluefin tuna were harvested over a 10-year period from 1998 to 2008. And I get into the politics of how that was possible, how that was allowed to happen, because what it resulted in was not only a lot of people getting rich at the expense of artisanal, traditional fishermen, but it resulted in pretty much the decimation of that species in the Mediterranean. It's the home base for bluefin tuna in the North Atlantic. That's where the largest population is. So I get into how that happened. I was, as part of that adventure, again, it's not a lecture format. The book is an adventure narrative format. So I was on board with the Greenpeace ship Rainbow Warrior for over a week in the southern Mediterranean. We were looking for illegal bluefin tuna harvesting. So that's one of the sections of the book that I get into.
It's a fascinating book and a fascinating journey. The book is In Pursuit of Giants. It is published by Viking. Matt Rigney, I thank you very much for being with us. I wish you all the luck in the world with your efforts and with the book. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
A great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.